Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, welcome to The Well, and welcome to State of the Church. If you are a guest here with us, you probably thought, what on earth is happening this morning? We've got burnt offerings going down at both campuses. We've got people who think it's Sadie Hawkins. We got matching t-shirts everywhere. This is the one time a year where we kind of pause, we remember, we reflect, and we celebrate what God has done. So grateful that you're here with us this week. To those, of course, at our Clovis campus, over at our Fig Garden campus, or in our theater or our venue here on this campus, just so grateful to share some time with you. As we do look back a little bit, Psalm 145:3 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse at the work of your hands. And so we want to do just that. We want to take a moment to look back at the faithfulness of our God. If Romans 3 is true, which it is, that there's none who seeks for God, then if there's anything good happening, it's evidence that God is doing something in our midst. And this, by the way, pausing and remembering is not unique to us. You can read through your Old Testament. There's all kinds of strange things that God asks the people of God to do. Like in Joshua 4, they cross the Jordan River, and God's like, all right, now here's what I want you to do to remember. Grab some rocks. Take those rocks, and I want you on the other side to put a rock pile there so that in the future generations, when they're like, hey, Pops, why did you build a rock pile there? You could say, well, let me tell you about the faithfulness of our God. Those kind of things we've tried to even model on our campuses. On this campus, we have two rock piles that are out by our kids' play structure to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God as we relocated onto this property. And so we want to do that. And by the way, you have seven feasts and festivals all throughout your Old Testament, all spread out throughout the year, so that about every other month, you're to stop and look back and remember the faithfulness of God. Now, we're not going to do this every other month, but once a year, it's worth kind of looking back. Because in Psalm 77:11, it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember. And so we want to remember and give credit to where credit is due. So we're going to talk here about a lot of numbers. Now, here's the thing with numbers. They can be intoxicating for some. To us, they tell part of the story, but they don't tell the whole story. And we've said here for years, bigger is not necessarily better. It just is what it is. And so we're going to look back on these numbers because they do, though, point to the faithfulness of our God. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's a vain thing for you to rise early or stay up late or eat the bread of painful labor. Why? Because the Lord gives to his beloved even while they sleep. In a New Testament context, Paul, saying the same thing a different way, just said, look, don't get cocky. We can plant and we can water, but it's God who is causing the growth. And so all of the numbers that we're going to talk about, we want to give credit to where credit is due, and that is to the Lord. And so we're going to start by looking back, just a handful of things over this last year that are worth celebrating. And I say celebrating, if you hear something that fires you up and you want to clap, you can certainly do that. You want to do a woohoo or a dance. Okay, don't dance, but if you want a woohoo or something, that's totally fine. But we are going to celebrate a little bit. But we're not going to celebrate everything because truthfully, we'd be here all day. But we are going to celebrate some highlights. I want to start with equipping here at The Well. We've had a high value of that for years. We have a residency program, biblical studies residency program, and the participants wake up and participate in Bible exposition study at 6 a.m. We've been doing this now for 22 years. There have been over 1,200 people who have participated, over 900 that have graduated this last year, or this last semester rather. We have signed up for residency, 135 people. So these are 135 nutsos that are waking up at O dark 30 to show up and study their Bible at 6 a.m. That's like us. And so we're very excited about residency. We also started, by the way, women's Bible study. I'm like, well, we'll do a women's Bible study and some ladies will come. 800 women come to women's Bible study. There are 60 groups. It's amazing. 60 groups of women that are now circled around tables, studying the Word of God together in community. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And by the way, if anything that we're talking about while we're looking back or here in just a moment when we look ahead is intriguing to you, just want you to know, we'd love to talk to you about how you could also be a part of these things. The other equipping thing we have, though, is something we started a year ago called VLA. And VLA is an educational partnership with California Baptist University, where you register for Cal Baptist classes, you take them here on our campus, we mentor you and disciple you, and then you serve at your local church. We have four churches that are partnering with VLA. So Soma Fellowship, The Hills, and Cross City currently participating as well as us here at The Well. And the advantage is this: you get a high quality Christian education, but you get to do it right here. How many of you parents have thought to yourself, if I send them to Santa Barbara, I'm fairly confident it's gonna get weird by Tuesday, okay? And so what happens is here, they're gonna get poured into and discipled and yet still get a quality education. And so we've had two of our students that from the ministry internship side of it have now slid into vocational ministry already, which is exactly what we'd hoped for. Some of the best now as partners in our churches in our city. And currently there are 14 students signed up for VLA for this semester, which is really exciting. And our hope is every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If you are a parent of a high schooler, I would highly recommend taking a look at VLA. It's worth a shot. Why? Because it's affordable, and then what you get by way of the student life experience is very difficult to replicate if you send them off somewhere. All right, let's talk a little bit about community life. We do life here in groups. That's who we are. Life groups have been the flagship forever. And I'm really happy to announce that there are over 3,000 people in life groups currently, which is amazing. Our team has done a tremendous job. That means our leaders have stepped up. In fact, we just did a life group kickoff on Friday night. It was one of the best I think we have ever done. And they've recruited now 500 life group leaders, over 250 groups, and over 50 coaches. So what's happening is we're able to bring in a coaching role to help provide some shepherding and care and equipping for our life groups, and it's been amazing. We launched a ministry some years ago called Merge, and Merge is for seriously dating and engaged couples that are interested in finding out what God's design is for marriage. How do you date and move towards engagement and marriage in a purposeful way? What does God's word say about sexuality pre-marriage and sexuality after? How do you learn how to conflict in health? Because that's what a marriage oftentimes needs to be prepared to do. And so we currently have 80 couples that have gone through the Merge process, and there are 30 mentor couples that are walking with them. Here's what we know: if we can start you off with the right patterns and habits and perspectives, we prepare you for marriage in a better way. Because marriage can be a wonderful, but sometimes challenging thing. And so that's Merge. We also, with that in mind, have a ministry called Reengage. Now, we launched Reengage back in 2017, and there have been over 700 couples that have finished Reengage. Reengage is a marital enrichment opportunity. So if you're married, and I would imagine if your marriage is anything like mine, there are days where you're like, something's off, we need some help. What Merge allows you to do, or a Reengage rather, allows you to do is jump in with other couples and process marriage. Now, I'll be honest with you, my wife and I went through years ago, and so there were some times that we drove home from Reengage and it was wonderful and we were laughing. And sometimes we drove home and it was really, really quiet because we needed to process some things. And that's marriage. That's walking out this messy process of life with a spouse. And so if that's of interest to you, we've got room for you right now to jump in. In fact, there are 75 couples signed up right now for Reengage in the fall. And then we have a ministry called Regeneration. Now, Regeneration is a 12-step gospel-centered recovery program. The people that are clapping because they recognize something that maybe you haven't yet. And what they recognize is there's ongoing presence of flesh, there's ongoing tendencies of sin, there's ongoing need for transformation, and they just raised their hand and said, I want to grow. And so if there's ever any issue of sin struggle in your life, if you've ever found yourself doing the things you wish you didn't do, or not doing the things that you know you should, if you ever wondered, why is it that even though I'm in Christ, there's still this wrestling happening in my soul and a tendency towards yuck, if that applies to you, then you are those people. And those people need the process of the gospel to transform. And that's what regeneration has done. Now, regeneration, we launched in 2014. There are over 1,800 people that have commenced at this point. And these are people, by the way, you'll know who they are, because if they're in your life group, they're not just going to talk about it, they're going to talk about it. They're going to put words to things. There's an awareness in their life, and they want now to drop to the deeper levels of spiritual formation. Currently, there are 200 people participating in Regen, and you say, well, that, I mean, 200's a lot of people, but I expected it to be more. They've also commenced this last year, 200 people, and have launched 16 additional groups, which means it's a revolving door of people that are coming in and coming out, and the hope would be that continues ongoing. Joel chapter 2, Joel the prophet just makes the comment that God restores the years the locusts have eaten. And that's where some of the applause comes, because the people that have been through regeneration, the Lord has done a work below the line in their life, and he is restoring them to relationship with him and with others. Well, let's talk about kids. When we say kids here at the Well, we're talking birth to fifth grade. And so that's kind of the age groups to think about. Now, when we started the church, some of you have been around for long enough to remember that we had no children's ministry because we did not have a single child. There were no kids. All college students. I want to say we did like 30 or 40 weddings the first 2 years. So the kids came later, all right? But this last year, we averaged about 1,250 kids birth through fifth grade, which is insane. Last week, there were over 1,400. And so what happens when you come to a gathering is this is your perspective. You all sit in kind of the same spots, creatures of habit. You probably park in the same area, which means your view of the church is a little narrow. And so what we want to do at State of the Church is just open your eyes that there are 8 gatherings that are happening all over this city and a lot of great things happening. And so with that 1,400 plus kids, Summerpalooza is something we do in the summer, kind of our version of a vacation Bible school kind of thing. We had over 1,600 kids that participated in Summerpalooza and over 1,000 leaders. So the hordes descended on these campuses. By the way, we are testing the capacity of these campuses, and I hope every single year we have to get more and more and more creative and intentional to make room for more and more who want to come. We also did something interesting. We launched a child dedication process because we realized something. Every parent wants to be a good parent, but few know how. And so what we said is, what would it look like for us to partner with parents and help give them some training and equipping so they can be the type of parent that we know they want to be? And so in this child dedication process, we have the parents and the kids pray about some family values, pray about some scripture that might be a verse for their family. And then we bring all of those families up on stage. And my favorite part of the child dedication is we hand the microphone to him and the dad speaks. Now, why is that important? Because ladies, we know you've been waiting for that moment. You know what the values are. You know what the verse is. But we know he has an interesting role in your home of being a spiritual leader. And we want to help him step out and lead his family. And so to see these dads proudly say, this is our family verse. This is what we're about. These are our values. It is a beautiful thing. This last year, we had our dedication process and we dedicated 74 kids this last year, which is fantastic, because what we know is as the family goes, so goes the kids. And so if we can pour into the families and equip parents, it's good for the kids as well. We also, back in 2023, started a special needs ministry. And if you remember when we started, we had 4 kids that were participating in that ministry, but we knew there are more families out there who don't go to church, maybe because it's difficult to bring their child. They're afraid their child won't be adequately cared for. Maybe the church isn't ready to really handle the special needs of that child. And so we launched the ministry in hopes of opening the door for special needs families. This last year, we had over 100 kids participating in our special needs ministry, which is unbelievable. That doesn't happen without you. It doesn't happen without volunteers. It doesn't happen without people stepping up and saying, I want to be a part of that ministry. What's exciting for us as well is 11 of those kids that have been a part of our ministry through the last number of years have been worked with in such a way that both from partnering with parents to the training and equipping of our people to the volunteers that have come alongside to the equipping of our ministries, 11 of those kids have matriculated out of the special needs ministry and are participating in the life of our church without a one-on-one buddy. And that is fantastic. We're very excited about that. We also had an idea some years ago to start a ministry called the Well Stars. And we said, let's start this little athletic thing and then we'll just see what happens. Well, we had no idea what was gonna happen. So we do t-ball in the spring and soccer in the fall. And this last spring, we had over 430 t-ballers, which is great, by the way, because, I mean, they're wearing the pants. They don't need the pants. What do they need pants for? They're gonna pick flowers anyway. But we got them the pants and the jersey and the hats and the whole nine. So we've got 430 players, over 100 volunteers coaching, and then fall soccer, over 600 soccer players and 125 volunteers. It is absolutely awesome. They're wearing shin guards. They can't kick anything, not even the ball, but they're shin guarded up, ready to go. It is the best. And so we're so thankful to see our kids engaged. Let's talk about those students now. When we say students, we're talking sixth grade up to 12th grade. Well, something crazy is happening in those areas. So we have a Fig Garden campus, as most of you know, just one block south of Fig Garden Village at Palm and Gettysburg. And so they've got now 125 students, so middle schoolers and high schoolers participating there with 35 leaders there. And what's happening here at the Clovis campus is nuts. We built a student center. The auditorium there will seat about 500 middle schoolers or high schoolers. We currently have, for middle schoolers, over 400 middle schoolers that attend Tuesday nights, and then over 60 leaders. So you can see we're already pushing some capacity issues of our brand new student center. What a wonderful problem to have. High schoolers, it's even better. Over 425 high schoolers and over 100 leaders. We have technically already outgrown that facility, and we're so thankful to see what the Lord is doing with our student ministry. We sent them to Hume, by the way. There was over 650 kids that we sent to camp. We had to go two different weeks at Hume Lake to accommodate everyone. Again, what a wonderful, wonderful problem to have. Something weird has happened here at the Well through the years. It used to be, and maybe you remember, your parents went to church and they drug you and you hated it. What's happening now is the kids are coming and they're dragging you as a parent, and hopefully you love it. Because when your kids get connected or your student gets connected, it's a game changer. Let's talk about our campuses here. So I already mentioned we have eight different gatherings throughout the week. We do have two different campuses. And again, by way of just celebrating some things, when somebody places their faith in Christ and publicly professes that, they're baptized. And baptism is an outward sign of what God has done already in their heart through the work of the gospel. Over the last 12 months, we have baptized at all campuses and gatherings over 400 people, which is beautiful, beautiful. It just means God's doing something special in our midst in that regard. We also, on our campuses, launched a care ministry. And so our care ministry does a number of things. One, you may not know this, but we have a tool trailer that we have stocked with all of the tools and equipment needed to come alongside those that are in need in our church. Take, for example, maybe a widow or a single mom. She's got a hot water heater that goes out or whatever. We've got a trailer full of the tools now, and all we need is somebody who feels closest to God with a tool belt on, with a hammer and a tape measure, who can go and help run those tool projects. And if that's you, by the way, we would love to see you get engaged. As the needs continue to grow, we help the practical needs of people in our midst. We also started something called Grief Share. Trauma happens. Many of you have experienced the loss of a loved one. How do you process that? And Grief Share is a ministry that helps you process how to handle life and the losses that life gives you in a way that honors the Lord. And we've done that not only here at this campus, but there's 125 plus people participating in Grief Share. And we've partnered with some churches in Southwest Fresno, helping raise their capacity to care well for people who've experienced trauma, so that together in the body, we can raise our capacity to care for the people in our midst, which is pretty special. We also did something that you smelled when you came on campus today. We launched a barbecue team. You say, well, why would a church launch a barbecue team? Well, for a number of reasons, not the least of which, we really love to eat here at the Well, okay? But second, we want to reach men. And we realize most women will connect face to face, but most men will connect shoulder to shoulder. So if you go by either the Fig Garden or our Clovis barbecue team and listen, you're going to hear dudes being dudes, and they're chopping it up and laughing and talking smack about whatever. When you join the barbecue team, you get a apron, but you have to earn the patch. You have to put it, we're a non-hazing barbecue team, but you do have to earn the patch. And it's really interesting because these guys are creating community for men to connect with other men. The scope of their barbecuing is insane, by the way. So we are on pace this year to cook up 7,000 pounds of tri-tip, 6,000 sausage links, 15,000 sandwiches, which will raise an estimated $60,000 to lower the cost of camp for our students in the summer. Isn't that fantastic? Let's talk about attendance on a Sunday, kids and adults. How many people are coming every single week to our church? Well, there are thankfully thousands of kids and adults that are attending every single week to the point where at both campuses we are impacted. So at our Fig Garden campus, we're remodeling our student center there to create a little bit of a venue, much like we have here at this Clovis campus with our outdoor theater and then the family venue in our student center. And so we're so grateful for so many people that are coming. But I want you to know the number that really matters to us. Regardless of how impacted our campuses are, there are still hundreds of thousands of people in the Fresno-Clovis area that have yet to embrace the gospel. Hundreds of thousands of people who have yet to enter into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. So as much as we could talk about who's coming, I'm way more interested in who's not coming yet. And my hope is you are too. Because the best days, I would argue, are yet to come. And so with that, Psalm 115 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your loving kindness. And so with that, now let's look ahead. I want to show you our website just for a second, if we can. So we've created, of course, a website that many of you have seen. I just want to draw attention to a couple of things as we look ahead that might be of use to you. This is our homepage, obviously. If you're new, right here on the homepage, a real quick button that'll give you all the entry-level stuff as you get started, latest messages. So if you happen to be out and on vacation or whatever, miss a series or something of a series, we've got it for you there. I want to draw attention to life group guides. It's on our homepage. We would assume that everyone who comes to our church is in a life group. If you have yet to take the step to get into a life group, that is the next step. It is one of the most important ways that a larger church can feel small. Most of our life groups go through what we call a life group guide, where our team puts together a little life group guide. You listen to the message, you take a couple notes, a couple questions you might have, you go through the life group guide, which asks some additional questions, integrate some of our foundational practices. Really, really nice way of dialing in a life group experience that moves from head to heart to hands. And so that's on the homepage there. But what I want to draw your attention to is what's happening here under ministries and missions, just quickly, if I may. So if you click on our missions page, you're going to see all kinds of things that we are a part of, little vignettes of some of the global and local stuff that we're participating in. You'll be able to see any of the local or extended family that are here. These are missionaries that we are supporting. And if you want to know where they are, it'll tell you. If you want to know who some of our local partners or advocates are, these are some of the agencies that we're working with, etc. But what I want you to see is this Get Involved link over here. If I click Learn More under Get Involved, it pulls up every single one of our local partners that we are partnered with right now and gives you a link for how you could find places to serve or opportunities to serve right now. So if you, for example, were here last week and we said we're engaged and you said, yeah, but where? You can go to our website right now and in a couple of clicks find all of the service opportunities that you might want. And they're all listed here. Also, you'll notice at the top of the page, it's not just local, but all of our global partners are listed as well. So if you got a hankering to get on a mission trip and go overseas or whatnot, we would be happy to help you do that. And so I just wanted to draw your attention to that. And then as we look at our equipping, link here. There's some usual suspects. So, you know, equipping, we've got our biblical studies residency and our women's Bible study, and then we've got our undergrad program, that's VLA. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, these roles that were given to the church for the equipping of saints to the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, so that we would no longer be children tossed here and there by waves, carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men or craftiness of deceitful scheming, but instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. The point of a church is not to do ministry. The point of a church is to train and equip the body to do ministry, to engage. And so we are an equipping church. Well, one of the things we realized is we had some interesting things that were kind of out here, but we never put it all together. So over this last summer, we have created what we call a ministry leader development pipeline. And what that means is we're connecting the dots of the opportunities. Let me walk you through them. We have first our summer cohort. Our summer cohort is designed for 18 to 25-year-olds. It's a discipleship environment for those interested in a fun and developmental summer opportunity, meaning you want to do something this summer that's got some purpose to it. And it's helping students discern what's next. We are finding more and more of our young adults, 18 to 25, aren't quite sure where they're going yet. Not sure if they should go here or go there. Do I go to college? Is it worth the school debt I'm going to take on? Should I go be a welder? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so what we want to do is walk with those in a summer cohort, helping them discern what's next. And then comes now a ministry internship. We have more and more of our young adults that are interested in being poured into. So the ministry internship is a hands-on developmental opportunity for those curious about vocational ministry. They may not feel called to be a pastor yet, but they might just say, man, I love the Lord. I love my church. I want to get more involved. I'd like to get developed a little bit. And so it's in a cohort style spiritual formation ministry practicum called our ministry internship. And then we're creating what we're calling a ministry fellowship. Now the fellowships, both ministry and pastoral, are moving towards paid positions. And so the ministry fellowship is for those who want intentional hands-on ministry experience, but these are folks interested now in exploring vocational ministry. They're saying, I think I may be called into this. And so we pair them with a mentor staff member. We pull the curtain back, let them see all of the ministries in the well, what we do, why we do it, how we do it, so that whether they stay here with us or launch out into other churches, they're better trained and equipped to do that. The pastoral fellowship, as the name implies, is for those specifically who feel called into pastoral ministry. These folks would be, again, partnered with one of our pastors. I would spend time with them as a lead pastor, trying to shape their ministry experience as well. And the goal is, if they feel called into pastoral ministry, we want to train and equip them to be as effective as they can. And then the final one is what we call a spiritual leadership cohort. We realized that we were missing executive level spiritual formation, meaning top-notch spiritual forming environments for the best of the best leaders in our church, for key marketplace leaders in our church, for civic officials, for our elders, our pastors. What would it look like to go below the line and really do some renovation work? And so we've created a 3-month program called a spiritual leadership cohort, and it is designed to do just that. It's intensive character and spiritual development. It's intensive marketplace leader development designed to lead you into a deeper spiritual forming relationship with Jesus Christ, cohort style. And so now connecting all of those pieces together, from your 18-year-old who's not sure what's next, to your marketplace leader who says, I feel stuck, but I want to be more effective for the Lord. As a real estate agent, for example, we want to be here to help you do just that, all right? I'm going to now come back to 3 ministry initiatives that we are rolling out that might be of interest to you. One is that we are launching an annual young adult conference called Built for This. and we're going to change out the content every year, but our desire would be to be a hub for transformation for our collegiate and young adult crowd. It just so happens the content for this one is going to be on God's design for sex, sexuality, and a dating context. We are finding more and more of our young adults are confused in how to date, which means they either date without any idea of what the Bible says and completely booger things up, or they're so afraid to make a mistake they don't date at all. What we would like to do is say there is a design. It can be handled well. You don't need to freak out about it. And if you date well, you can date her and then her and then her and then her, and it's no harm, no foul, because you're not crossing boundaries you shouldn't cross. And therefore, by doing so, you're learning who might God have for you. And at some point you go, you know what? I think that's my person. And now you move into a healthy merge relationship, re-engage, marital enrichment, all the way down the road. So we're going to be doing that this year with our college and young adults, October 10th. Second is we are launching something called Life Group Connect. We realized that for years to launch a life group, we said, okay, great, fill out a welcome card and we'll connect you to a life group. And you fill out a welcome card and we go, great, you're in Joe's group. You're like, well, who the heck is Joe? You're like, well, don't worry about it, but here's his address. So now, like the Amazon delivery guy, you're knocking on Joe's door, like, hey, I got this, are you Joe? And they don't know who you are either, so it's a little awkward. And then you walk in, you're like, hey, everybody, you know. The introverts are like, I will never, ever do that. And I don't blame you. And so what we've done is innovated that. We've created a gathering called a Life Group Connect, where everybody comes into the room together who wants to launch a group. You're in small groups with various people for the duration of that time, and then you're paired into a group. And so now you're like, oh, I'm in Joe's group. I remember Joe. We just hung out. You show up at the door, and they go, hey, Joe. And they're like, yeah, Brad. And so here we go. And so it makes it a little easier on-ramp than a cold call knock on the door like an Uber Eats driver. And so Life Group Connect is launching now. September or August was full. September's is full. We're signing up for October's. If you'd like to be a part of it, that would be great. Third is I want to tell you about our marital enrichment workshops. I mentioned merge and I mentioned re-engage. We realize we don't have anything for ongoing health and vitality of marriages. And yet, as I said, as the marriage goes, so goes the family. And so we're going to be doing quarterly marital enrichment workshops. If you want to pop in, you can pop in. It's not necessarily for crises. It's just, I want to have a great marriage. I mean, nobody says my goal in my marriage is to be meh. Nobody wants to be meh in their marriage. We want to have a good marriage. Well, you're not going to have a good one unless you work on it. And so by these marital enrichment workshops, we're creating ongoing ways of helping marriages continue to deepen. Let me close with a challenge and a reminder. In 2 Kings chapter 20, a king named Hezekiah, by and large, he does a good job until the end. And in the end, the Babylonians are coming, and he knows that. And in fact, he's told by the prophet Isaiah, look, good news and bad news. Bad news is the city's going to be taken. Everything you've ever worked for is going to be taken captive. Your Daryl's mini storage is going to be cleared out. Bank accounts drained. Sons and daughters kidnapped and taken captive. And his response is, the word from the Lord that you have spoken is good. Now, how is that good? And he says, at least there'll be peace in my time. See, he's going to be fine, but his kids are going to be taken. So he forsakes the next generation and says, as long as I have peace in my day, I don't care. Now, may it never be that we go the way of Hezekiah. May it never be that we say, I want my convenience. I don't care about those kids, and I don't care about those students. I want my convenience. May it never be. And by the way, if that's how you feel, you were at the wrong church. Because we want to reach those kids and we want to reach those students, which means we are going to inconvenience ourselves if it allows us to reach the next generation. Why? Psalm 71 has been in our hearts now for many years. It says, oh God, you have taught us from our youth and we still declare your wondrous deeds, that even when we are old and gray, oh God, do not forsake us until we declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Amen? Here at this church, we're going to celebrate what God has done. But we're going to also look ahead and say, what does it look like for us to strengthen this generation and reach the next? We need them both. And so with that, I hope you're encouraged to see what God is doing. It is a great time to be a part of this church because he is on the move and we get to join him in it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are so good to us. And so we bless you for the privilege to be a part of your kingdom. as we seek to be faithful to the calling that you've given us as a body of believers, we just pray, God, that you would go before us and allow us to be faithful. And so as we seek to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, may the best days indeed be yet to come. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, before you leave, I've got a challenge for you. One of the things we're trying to do is help a large church feel small. How do you do that? It's one conversation at a time. So when you walk outside, you're going to see all kinds of people in matching shirts, people with lanyards on, little name tags. They are here to help start the conversation with you. We're not asking you to sign up for anything, but if you want to sign up, we can help you with that. What we are asking you to do is start the conversation. And maybe there's something you heard. You say, I want some more about that. Tell me a little bit more about that equipping pipeline, or tell me a little bit more about Merge, or hey, I've got a son or a daughter and students, I want to know some more. They will either be able to help you with that or get you to someone who can. And we're going to help a large church feel small, one conversation at a time. Also, on the east side of our theater space by our coffee house, we're dropping a lot of new gear today. And the reason we put out gear is not because we're a clothing company. We want our logo everywhere, because what we know is the person who lives down the street from you, they may not come to the well yet, but if and when life happens to them and they've seen your bumper sticker or your sweet golf hat or your shirt or your whatever, they're going to go, there's that church and I see that logo everywhere. Maybe I should go check it out. And the hope would be it's early evangelism of inviting people to come, because they may not need us today, but they're going to need us at some point. All right. And then, of course, we have tri-tip out there and a soda bar. Make yourself at home. I know the temptation. You're like, dude, we're out early. We could get to the cart. You could. Or we could come connect. Let's help a large church feel small, one conversation at a time. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.